181. When Satan
come before you, dear brethren. You're my family. I love you. And I look forward to coming to this conference to see my family, my friends, my brethren in Christ. And just a couple of little things I'd like to share with you. Genesis chapter 3. In connection with what's been brought before us already. Genesis 3 and just the first verse. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? I want to simplify this from my own heart a little bit this afternoon. Perhaps we could look at it this way. What has God really said? What has God really said? I sometimes wonder about this in connection with translations of the Bible. And I've wondered if that isn't one of the tactics that the devil is even using today. What has God said? And I'm thankful for the translation of the Bible that I use, not that it's perfect, but the errors of translation are known. You can read 35 books on the book of Matthew, critiquing page by page. You can't always do that with everything else you read. So what has God said? I just would put this as an exercise to my own heart. You know, our brother has brought before us some tactics that the enemy uses. Absolutely true. He's using some of them on me today. I'm busy in my work. I'm too busy. That means I don't have time. Quality time. I don't have enough for the Lord. I own that to my family here today. I'm sorry. I own that to the Lord. There's other temptations that I used to have in my previous work. Robert talked about some of them today. They're real, but they take our time. They take our focus, our attention. How are we going to know what God says? We're going to know by reading His Word. Isn't that right? That's how we know. But if we never read His Word, we're not going to know. That's an exercise of heart for me. God has given us ability, capabilities, talents. What has God said? I'd like to turn to the book of Matthew. We have just a few minutes. And I'd like to look at the perfect example that we have in the Word of God. And that's God's man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how, in the power of the Scriptures, the power himself, he was able to resist the tempter. And in each case, each way that the enemy came against him, he was able to present the Scriptures. Verse 1 of chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And the Lord answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The tempter came. He presented something, and the Lord Jesus answered from this blessed book. You know, when these things come across our pathway, how do we answer them? From the Word of God. There may be times where we're not walking close to the Lord. But if we have treasured up the Word of God in our hearts, then the Holy Spirit can bring before us on our conscience His Word. And we can answer the temptation from the Word of God. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, It is written, Again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. If you check it out, you'll find out in verse 6 that the devil did quote from the Old Testament, I believe from the book of Psalms, but he left out a couple of the words. The Lord Jesus says, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So the first test was the lust of the flesh, I guess we would call that, in the fourth verse, and then we have the lust of the eyes, and then we have this last one, verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Well, again, we have the blessed Lord and how he responds with the word of God. What an encouragement, what an example for us. The word of God. We need to treasure it. We need to read it. And we need to act on what we know. Just in closing, I'd like to just talk a little bit about 2 Corinthians, the end. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. We have temptations set before us, don't we? And we've talked about them. But then we have the things in each of our lives that are difficulties. They're unique to us as individuals, perhaps known to only family members, perhaps only known to ourselves. Perhaps others know about them too if they're specific infirmities. God in his goodness allows these things. Paul calls it the messenger of Satan to buffet him in the verse 7. And he went to the Lord three times about this problem that he had. Perhaps there's somebody here this afternoon and you have a problem that really is bothering you. Perhaps you've gone to the Lord Jesus about it. Paul went not just once or twice, but three times. And the answer back from the Lord was, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I'm very weak. I feel that. But you know, I have the Lord. And so I'm strong. You know, we get into these situations where Satan has an agenda against us. And we may feel down deep that there's the enemy behind what's come in our lives. What can we do? We can turn to the Lord. That's the source of strength. And he says here, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Brethren, may we each feel our own weakness before the Lord. May we turn to him in our weakness as the perfect example. May we know his word, be able to meet the temptations of the enemy with his word. But may we always remember the resource that we have is him. And may we turn to him in our weakness for his great strength.
We sing 273.
Psalm. End of verse 11. To keep thee in all thy ways. Our God and our Father, we do thank thee that the Spirit of God would bring our consciences and our hearts into thy presence this afternoon, that thy word might search us out to find our moral address and meet us in our needs. We thank thee for thy faithfulness, for the glory of thy beloved Son, for we are those who have been bought with his blood most precious. So we pray that thou help us to receive with meekness the engrafted word. And we give thee the thanks of our hearts in the precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.